Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, King Prithu's 104 sacrifices, text number 33. Naivatmane Mahindraya Rosam Arhatum Arhasi Ubhav Api Badrang Te Uttamashloka Vigrahau Naivatmane Mahindraya Rosam Arhatum Arhasi Ubhavapi Ibadramte Uttamashloka Vigrahau Naivatmane Mahindraya Dosham Arhatum Arhasi Ubhavapi Ibadramte Uttamashloka Vigrahau Naivatmane Mahindraya Dosham Arhatum Arhasi Ubhavapi Ibadramte Uttamashloka Vigrahau Na, not, eva, certainly, atmane, non different from you, Mahaindraya, upon the King of Heaven, Indra, Rosam, anger, Arhatum. To apply. Arhasi. You ought. Ubhau. Both of you. Api. Certainly. He. Also. Badram. Good fortune. Te. Unto you. Uttamashloka Vigrahau. Incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's no purport. We'll read this verse and then go on to the next verse. Lord Brahma continued, let there be good fortune to both of you. For you and King Indra are both part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you should not be angry with King Indra, who is none different from you. Text 34. My dear King, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to the providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thoughts. Purport. Sometimes the saintly or very religious persons also has to meet with reversals in life. Such incidents should be taken as providential. Although there may be sufficient cause for being unhappy, one should avoid counteracting such reversals. For the more we become implicated in rectifying such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest regions of material anxiety. Lord Krishna has also advised us in this connection. We should tolerate things instead of becoming agitated. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Sahakaya Chakshurandita Yat Kripata Raham Pande Sigurum Vidhidhara Vanchakalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devija Patitana Pavane Vaishnava Yo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasti Gaur Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a very nice instruction given to us by Lord Brahma, that when Krishna makes some arrangements, we shouldn't try to counteract what he has arranged. This is the arrangement of Krishna means providence, right? This is providence, whatever Krishna arranges. So, Lord Indra, he was very attached to having this position of being the only one that has done the 100 horse sacrifices. He wanted to maintain that status of the only one having done this. But King Prithu, he also wanted to do it. So there was some conflict. But Lord Brahma, knowing that King Prithu is more advanced, he said, just let it go. Let it go. So he let it go. Alright. He'll be satisfied. Now, Lord Indra, he's also a great devotee. But he has this fault. Pride. Now, who of us in this room doesn't have fault? We all have fault. Therefore, Krishna, he says, Sahajam karma kontaya sarasam apinataja sarvarami doshana dumidavni ivavatana. Interesting statement by Krishna. He says, every endeavor is covered by a fault. Every endeavor is covered by a fault. Just like fire, it is so pure, but it's covered by smoke. He goes on to say, therefore you should perform your duty, even if it's filled with fault. So, Inta is a great devotee. He's doing so much service. Even Lord Brahma, I was surprised. Lord Brahma said he's not different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's a great soul. But he has this one fault. We shouldn't just look at this one fault, though. Prabhupada gives the example of the bee and the fly. There may be a very nice garden, big garden, beautiful, fragrant garden, so many flowers. But if there's some stool in the garden, the fly will go into the garden and he'll pass up all the fragrant flowers and go to the stool. On the other hand, there may be a pile of garbage. There's one flower, one fragrant flower coming out of the pile of garbage. The bee passes up all the garbage and he goes to the flower and he gets the honey. So a devotee is like that. He passes up all the faults and he goes to the good qualities, the honey, the good qualities. Whereas someone who is of lower consciousness passes up all the good qualities and just goes to the bad qualities. So we should try to be beads. A devotee is a bead, tries to see the good in others. It's not easy in Kali Yuga. It's even described that a pure devotee is one who is beyond the tendency to find faults in others. That's a pure devotee. So we have this, you know, this fault finding and this tendency. So somehow we should try to overcome this tendency. And by associating with devotees who are beyond this tendency, then it's easier. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he says, Maschita sarvadargani maprasada tushasi. He says, if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles on your path to pure devotional service. There's many obstacles. This is one of them. This fault-finding tendency is one of the obstacles that we have to cross over. So there's many obstacles that we have to cross over. But Krishna says, if you just become conscious of me, you'll cross over all these obstacles. If, however, you act out of false ego and you don't hear me, then you're going to be lost. So false ego is a problem. Nirmana moha. Nirmana moha. Nirmana moha.
It's semi-dosha. Adhyatmi-dhyari-vati-kama.
Dvandvara-mukta-sukha-dukha-samya gacchanti-mura-padamavya-yamta. So this is in the 15th chapter, Krishna explains that one who is free of this false ego. What is this false ego? False ego means false identity of who we are. It's like Indra has this false identity. He thinks he's the king of heaven, but he's not the king of heaven. He's a soul. As it's stated here, Lord Brahma says to King Indra, he's not different from you. So it's not that he's also King Indra, but they're both spirit souls. We're all spirit souls. So this is our true identity. We're all very small souls. How big are we? 1/10,000 the size of the tip of a hair. We're so small, we can't even be seen with a microscope. We're so insignificant. So small. But because we have this false ego, we think we're this body. We enter into illusion. And this is the next part of this. Nirmana moha. Moha means illusion. We get into this illusion that I'm American, or I'm Indian, or I'm Australian, or I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a boy, I'm a girl. This is all illusion. We're completely different from this body. So this is the reality. And so to understand this reality that we're spirit soul, that we're not this body, that's a huge step in our journey back home. Because we've had so many bodies, and in each body we had this misconception. We had this false ego. So now, somehow, by the mercy of Krishna, we're getting this knowledge and we're getting this information from Krishna, from the pure devotee, how we're different from this body. We're spirit. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha. Jita sangha dosha, who is free of bad association. We have to associate with devotees. By this association with the devotees, then this association rubs off onto us. And as I was mentioning, this association with Srila Prabhupada, this is the best association. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, hearing Bhagavad Gita, this is the panacea for this disease of false ego. So you have to hear so attentively. I'll give you an example. Imagine there's a fire, okay, on the second floor of a building, and there's people in an apartment there, and they're shouting out for help. So the fire department comes, and they have these bullhorns, you know, and they're speaking up to the people. You know, this is what you do. Can you imagine how attentive they're going to be? Very attentive. They're not going to fall asleep. Because it's a matter of life and death. If they hear attentively and they do what the firemen are telling them to do, they'll be saved from their dangerous situation. So we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that. Because it's a matter of life and death, actually. If we hear nicely, we're going to come alive. We're going to come alive again in our spiritual life. But if we're inattentive, then we're going to continue sleeping. There's one nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nehaya karma dharmaya na viragaya kapate nitirta padasevaya jivan api matohi saha. That if one's work does not bring one to dharma, which is devotional service, if one's dharma does not bring one to renunciation, and if one's renunciation does not bring one to devotional service, one is considered to be dead, although breathing. Nice verse. So, we're trying to work for Krishna. Previously, we were working for Maya. We were attached to Maya, serving Maya. So now we're trying to serve Krishna, become attached to Krishna. And if we can become attached to Krishna, attached to working for Krishna, then this means we're very healthy in our spiritual journey. So this is the goal, to become attached to trying to please Krishna. And then we enter into dharma, devotional service to Krishna. This is the real dharma of the living entity, to serve Krishna, to engage in devotional service. This is the pleasure of the soul. Srila Prabhupada once said that the soul is embarrassed to be in the material body. It's embarrassing. Because what is the nature of the soul? Eternality, knowledge, and bliss. But we're stuck in this body, which is temporary and causes so many problems. So much ignorance. People are so ignorant. Even big scientists are so ignorant. Sometimes I say that the most intelligent people, the most materially intelligent scientists, are actually very unintelligent. Very unintelligent, because they can't even understand that they're the soul, that they're servants of God. Material scientists. Of course, we have our spiritual scientists also. We're very important because they know. We have devotees that are scientists and they're trying to prove there's a God in our spirit soul. So they're very intelligent. So we're given this knowledge by which we can understand what is the truth. So eternality, knowledge, and bliss. And there's so much unhappiness. The main disease in the world. What is the main disease in the world? Anybody know? Stress. Stress is the foremost disease in the world. And from stress come so many problems. Ulcers and mental problems. This is another, mental problems. This is like a major problem.
Anxiety,
yeah. It's because people are just so much into trying to enjoy their senses, trying to enjoy this material world, pursuing it like anything. But there's no happiness in this world, so there's some distress, anxiety. Even there is one famous song, some of us old people remember. Can't get no satisfaction. Yes, I tried, and I tried, and I tried. And all the youths used to sing, yeah, I can't get no satisfaction. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried. Yeah, there's no satisfaction in the material world. Unless one is serving Krishna. This is the satisfaction of the soul. Prabhupada used to give the example of the fish. You take the fish out of the water and you give him a nice mansion and you give him a nice car and give him a big bank account, big estate, huge estate. Got to put him back in the water. You got to put him back in the water. So many people have these things in this world, but still there's dissatisfaction. They can't sleep at night. They're taking sleeping pills. They're drinking, taking drugs, frustration. So no one is going to be completely satisfied until, as Prabhupada said, we're at the bosom of Krishna. It's like Gopa Kumar in the... He's searching for the highest goal of life. And then he finally finds Krishna and Krishna embraces him. The bosom of Krishna. So Prabhupada said, either we can have the embrace of Krishna or we can have the kicks of Maya. Which do you want? We want the embrace of Krishna. This is natural, actually, for us to be with Krishna. He's our Father. It's natural. It's unnatural for us to be in this world, which is compared to a prison. It's like there's so many people in prison, but it's not natural. Nobody wants to be in prison. Right? Nobody wants to be in prison. So this is a prison. And these bodies, these are our uniforms. These material bodies. Pure living entities, they don't have these material bodies. They have spiritual bodies in the spiritual world. Those are natural forms. Our siddha svarup. We have our natural forms in the spiritual world. Maybe a cowherd boy or a cowherd girl. Or a cow. We have our siddha svarup. But now unfortunately we made a wrong turn, wrong desires. Now we're here with these prison suits, these material bodies. But just like here in Australia, if a prisoner is in prison, but he's a good prisoner, he doesn't cause any trouble, and he's even a little bit of help to the authorities there. He gets out early in good time because he was a good prisoner. He gets out early. It's like we all had certain karma before joining this movement. Now by coming to Krishna consciousness, we remove that karma by chanting Hare Krishna. That completely changes our karma. Nothing else can change our karma except for coming and taking to Krishna consciousness. So now our karma has changed completely. But if we really take it seriously, take this Krishna consciousness seriously, we can be completely purified of all reaction and go back home, back to the spiritual. So this is a great opportunity that we have. We shouldn't waste it. So many have come. Prabhupada said, 90% of my disciples are going to leave. When Prabhupada was here, so many were leaving. It's like in 26 Second Avenue, the devotees were joining. And they were so happy, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with the devotees, taking prasadam. And then, to everyone's shock, someone left. And everybody was like, how could he leave? How could he go back? And to mine? How is it possible? Then a couple months later, someone else left. Again, someone left. And then someone else left. Eventually, Prabhupada said, don't be surprised about those who leave, but be surprised about those who stay. So, we had to be very careful. We're in Maya's kingdom. So much opportunity for illusion. And the mind is it's always going here and going there. So we have to be very careful. Take very seriously this Krishna consciousness. And we can do it. We can go back home. It's possible. Vitaraga bhayakoda manmaya mamupashata bhavo jnana tapasa putamud bhavam agata. Krishna says, being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me, many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge of me and have thus attained me. So Krishna is encouraging us here. It's happened in the past so many times, so many people, many, many, many persons in the past have become purified. So this is an encouraging statement here by Krishna. We got to be free of material attachments. So how do we do that? We have to learn from, sometimes we learn from there's called the school of hard knots. Right? We have to get the experience. The most intelligent person, he learns just by hearing. He hears. If I commit a crime, I'm going to go to jail. So he doesn't commit a crime. The next most intelligent person, or the next level, is he hears, don't commit a crime, you're going to go to jail, but he does it anyway. He commits a crime and he goes to jail. He does his time and gets out. And the most foolish person is he hears, don't commit a crime, commits a crime, goes to jail, gets out, and he commits a crime again. That's the worst. So the best is just by hearing. If we hear nicely, then we'll be fixed in our devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, he said, I'm able to speak nicely because I heard. I heard nicely. And that was the condition by which his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, decided to initiate Srila Prabhupada. He likes to hear. He doesn't go away. These were his words, because there was a parikram in Vrindavan. And devotees could have gone to some holy place on parikram, or they could stay and they could hear Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur speak. And many went to the parikram, to the holy place, and only a few stayed to hear. Because it's not easy to understand him. It's his vocabulary. Even his second language, English, was so high. It's like we have this Brahma Samhita. He did that. He gave commentary on it. If you're trying to read it, you have to have a dictionary next to you in order to read it, because it's such a high English vocabulary. And Prabhupada said his Bengali, same way. Very high. Very difficult. But he said, I'm sitting, I'm listening, but it was very difficult to understand, but I wanted to hear anyway. So hearing is so, so very important. So very important. Now here in this purport, Prabhupada mentions that sometimes the saintly or the religious persons also has to meet with reversals in life. And Srila Prabhupada himself, he had many reversals. He was trying to spread Krishna consciousness in India. No success. Practically no success. He was trying. Then he got this property that was apparently going to be donated. I think it was a Lucknow. What was it? Anyway, he got this League of Devotees. That was the name. He had some property donated, apparently. And he had hoped that now we'll be able to spread Christian consciousness here. And he was going around, he was preaching and having nice success. But somehow this property was given to the wife of the governor or something like this, and she wanted to use it for a women's club or something like that. So he had to give it up, and he was so he was lamenting that it was an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness, but now it has been interrupted. But then, after that happened, then he started thinking, all right, I'm going to the West. Enough of this. So what was an apparent reversal became very positive. So sometimes that happens in our life, and a reversal becomes something very positive. So, and this is a providential thing. Krishna just arranged that. And at first Prabhupada lamented, but then he thought, all right, let me go elsewhere. They don't want to hear me. Let me go somewhere else. And then he went to New York City. Who would think that New York City would be a great place for preaching? Who would think? He was thinking that when I go there, they're going to tell me, Swamiji, go home. But no, it's a great success. It's a great success. And spread all over the world. Now, if that hadn't happened, imagine if he would have stayed with this League of Devotees and had great success in India. Maybe he wouldn't have come to the West. So, sometimes there's reversals that are blessings in disguise. So we have to see reversals as an opportunity to grow. Reversals are an opportunity to grow in our spiritual life. Sometimes it's hard to see that. But yeah, they're opportunities. Don't turn down opportunities by which we can grow in our spiritual life. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also had reversals. Yeah, he had this Gaudiya Math in India, and it was the biggest spiritual movement in India during the prime. But there was, Prabhupada said, or he said, there's fire in the house. There's fire in the house. Yeah, they were fighting. Who can get this room? Who can get that room? Yeah. And they were fighting over different things. And he was so upset. Prabhupada said he left early out of disgust. He was only 63, the same age as me. Right now, he left his body at 63. And Prabhupada said he was disgusted because they weren't cooperating in their service to Krishna. When Prabhupada was leaving this world, he said, I'm not leaving out of disgust. I'm very happy. Prabhupada was very happy with his devotees because they were in a very cooperative way spreading Krishna consciousness. Of course, there was also some friction. It's the nature of this world. You know, there's some friction. But overall, Prabhupada was very pleased. And what's amazing is Prabhupada left this world how long ago? 42 years ago. Yeah. And still, to this day, millions of books are being distributed all over the world. Every year we're distributing about 8 million books around the world. It's a lot of books. And this is 42 years after Prabhupada was left. And he was in anxiety. He was a little concerned. You know, therefore, not long before Prabhupada left this world, he called Giriraj, Brahmacharya at the time. And he was concerned, will this movement be able to continue? Imagine, you know, he has such love for Prabhupada, and now Prabhupada's talking about leaving. They're all thinking that Prabhupada's going to get well again. But he was concerned, will this movement be able to continue when I leave? And practically with tears in his eyes, Giriraj said, yes, Prabhupada, it will continue. Prabhupada said two words. Anybody know the words? Organization. We know organization and intelligence. It be organized. And intelligence. He said these two things. If we're organized, Prabhupada was so organized. He managed this whole society by snail mail. Yeah, we have email now. He was managing with snail mail, which means mail just going, you know, on the ground, or, you know, also sometimes flying. Amazing. He was just an amazing transcendental organizer. So intelligent. So I'm sure Prabhupada would be very happy that it's continuing. Of course, a lot of things happen in our society that he wouldn't be pleased with, but that, you know, it's the nature of this world. Prabhupada was in a car one time, driving with some devotees, and there was some construction taking place. And there was a sign there, temporary inconvenience for permanent convenience. Prabhupada just started laughing. You know, this is the propaganda, that they'll find some permanent convenience in this world. Prabhupada said, no, this world means inconvenience. It's an inconvenience to be in the material world. So, we're very fortunate, though, that we've been given this knowledge to help us get out of this great inconvenience, material nature. In the spiritual world, everything is convenient. Everything is wonderful. Prabhupada, in one purport, he says that in the spiritual world, Everything is alive. There's no dead matter. Everything moves. Everything speaks. Everything hears. Everything sees. Just like, remember we used to watch these cartoons? Remember the houses would talk and the buildings would move. So the spiritual world, everything is animate. Everything is conscious. And no one speaks. Everyone is singing. No one is walking. Everyone is dancing. Beautiful. And what's most attractive about the spiritual world is Krishna is there. So we have something to look forward to. Sometimes people think, you Hare Krishnas are so pessimistic, you know. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. I mean, come on, where's your fun, you know? Where's your fun? But actually, we're very optimistic about our future in the spiritual world. In this world, yeah, we're very pessimistic about this material nature. But we still have a good time. We dance. We dance for Krishna. We have a good time. And without even taking intoxication, it doesn't cost anything. You know, karma is, in order for them to dance, generally you have to take some intoxication. You get a little loose, you know. Right? But no, we dance for Krishna. And the soul is jubilant. When people dance for their sense gratification in these discotheques and things like this, the soul is crying. The soul is crying. There's no happiness there. Just anxiety. But we dance for the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore the soul is jubilant. So, is there any question? Yes, Guru.
You made a comment that scientists are the most ignorant of all. Now, I'm going to tell
most, you... the quote is, the most intelligent, stupid people you'll ever meet. Material scientists, the most intelligent, stupid people you'll ever meet.
I'm going to tell you a story. I spent more than 20 years working in an operating theater. I work with these most intelligent, stupid people. Every day of my life, I watch dissections of the human body. I have seen everything that you can imagine on this earth in the human body. But not once did I ever hear an intelligent, stupid person say, which was a surgeon, what is the driving force of this body? They dissect a leg, and they don't realize that the soul is the driving force of the leg. Now, these people are intelligent. They have great wealth, great education. I consider myself uneducated, not worthy of having any wealth or anything that they are blessed with in life. But by Prabhupada's books, I felt that I was the wealthiest and the most educated person in there simply because I knew that Krishna was the driving force within that body. Mm-hmm. Now, with my life, it's been changed by Prabhupada's books. Reading Prabhupada's books is like reading a bar of gold. I know that in the congregation, there are many people who have not read the Bhagavad Gita. I recommend even the Indians who have the Bhagavad Gita at home to read it, and they will become wealthy like a bar of gold.
There you go. I'll tell you one thing, interesting thing. There was a doctor in Canada who had seen many people die in front of him. He's looking in their eye when they die. And he said there was a luster would leave. There was a luster. And from that, he understood there's a soul. Just from looking in the eye, and just looking straight in the eye, and one moment he's alive, next he's dead, a luster. Then he could understand.
Prabhupada even says that the soul can be reached through the mouth, if you're pious, or be wedged through your anus if you're extremely impious. Those who are sinful, when you watch them die, you know what sort of life they've had. And I've seen palliative care with people on the verge of death. And you feel what sort of lifestyle they've had. Generally, people who die who have been pious, the mouth will open and the final breath will leave the mouth. I think Prabhupada even says there's three ways of leaving the body. One is through this. It's a small hole in the between, I think it's called the cerebrum. I'm not quite sure what that
top of the head.
These are usually great devotees lead through that hole. But for generally, the karmic people living on this earth, they will live through the mouth. But as you know, very simple people will live through the anus.
Yeah. Yes, Guru.
Just on the point of science.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, in today's society, we find that more and more scientists are actually coming to a point of understanding that we are not these material bodies. So there's a large group of scientists now, both in quantum physics and molecular structure of biology and so on and so forth, that are clearly stating that there's consciousness that drives humans and drives nature. So to lampoon all scientists as stupid is not correct.
No, material scientists.
If they're material, well, they are material.
That's the point.
They are still material scientists. They are working within material, but they're from a material scientific point of view. They're coming to a spiritual conclusion.
Well, then they wouldn't be material scientists if they understand their spirit, right?
Well, that's a semantic term. I'm just saying, for the general populace, we shouldn't lampoon all scientists.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because we're living in an age at the moment where there's a complete change of consciousness.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that shouldn't be negated.
Okay. Our communications minister here has spoken. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
You were talking about the same day, Prabhupada had so many sectors. When he was in the Babeshi business, he lost all his business.
Yeah. He had a big factory, and he had a big building, all these drugs and everything. He lost everything. And then he became a pauper. He had nothing. Yeah. Even I'll tell you one interesting story that I heard recently. One devotee, mentioned this, that Prabhupada was... He was living in New Delhi, or excuse me, he was living in Vrindavan, and he was in New Delhi. He was doing the BTGs. He was writing, and then he was printing BTGs, and he was distributing. Prabhupada was distributing BTGs. So one godbrother of his, he was in New Delhi, and he was riding his bike, and he saw Prabhupada. By Charanaravinda at that time, he wasn't. So he was at one house, and he was apparently he was distributing a BTT. So he was all happy to see that. Oh, Abhay Baba, he's there distributing BTT. Very nice. He came by 3 hours later, and Prabhupada's still there. And he went to him and said, "Babu, why are you still here? 3 hours you've been here. This person here." He that lives here, he said he's gonna take a BTG subscription, he's gonna give 5 rupees. And the devotee said, "You've been here for 3 hours for 5 rupees here. I'll give you 5 rupees." So he gave him, "I'll give you 10 rupees. Here, I'll take the BTG." He just felt the Prabhupada had no money. He had nothing, practically. Just, you know, one or two dhotis, just nothing. But he had this determination to follow the instruction of his spiritual master. And then Krishna gave him everything. First, Krishna took everything away to show mercy. He took everything away, then he gave everything to him. So this is Krishna's mercy, providence.
I have one question. Lord Krishna said, "Ananyas chintyam to mam. So Krishna is saying, "Yo Kshema, I'll give you what you need, and I'll preserve what we have.
Yeah.
Still we don't want to go. So why we are digressing?
Still we...
We are digressing from this path. Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, I'll take care of everything. Still people don't want to surrender.
Still people don't... Sorry.
Don't want to surrender.
Don't want to surrender. I see. Well, we have to follow the good examples. There are devotees that are very surrendered in this society. And Prabhupada always instructed full surrender. So yeah, don't hold back. We shouldn't hold back. Surrender to Krishna. Sometimes they say, well, what does that mean to surrender to Krishna? Let's share Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, to hear, to chant, to remember, to worship Krishna. This is surrender. And then there's the this verse, the Anukuryasya Sankalpa, Pratikuryasya Vajna, Rakshishya Titi Vishvashu, Gopur Desha. Accept everything favorable for devotional service. Reject anything which is unfavorable. There's a lot of things in this world that we should reject in order for us to carry on in a healthy way. This is kingdom of Maya. So there's a lot of things we have to reject. Now, I remember when I joined, nobody watched movies. Nobody. Now I'm seeing some devotees are watching movies. But it's just Maya. There's just nothing there. There's nothing there for us. Nothing there will help us advance in Krishna consciousness. So, as time goes on, Prabhupada's left now, so things get a little looser. But, these things, TV, and now we have these smartphones, the whole world of Maya is there. You have to be careful. Be very careful. So, rejecting things unfavorable, accepting that Krishna will protect us, Krishna will maintain us. So, this is surrender. Yes, somehow we have to surrender. And then Krishna will be very pleased. Yes?
I don't know who Prabhupada is, but I just don't know much about being a Hare Krishna. But what's the best introductory book that you'll start to understand a bit what it's all about?
Well, Bhagavad Gita. It's a good introductory book. Science of Self-Realization. Coming Back. These are a few books. Introductory. You can get them. I think we have them available here in the store.
Is that the man from Rome?
That's Prabhupada right there, yes.
Did he die in 1977, like 42 years ago?
That's right.
That's who you were talking about? Maybe?
He passed away. He left this world, yeah.
Is that
42 years
ago. The man you were talking about?
That's him.
He's like the founder.
He's the founder, yes. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.